This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We've all been shocked by what's happened in Flint. The fact that children have elevated blood lead levels because of increased lead in the water. I mean, we've just all been shocked. But we shouldn't have been. This has all happened before. In Washington, D.C., just 10 years ago, kids were exposed to lead in the water. Government officials tried to play it down. It took even longer to figure out that the kids were poisoned in Washington. And the really awful thing is, this could happen again and again, and probably is right now in other cities. That's because lead lines were used in a lot of cities. Joining us to talk a little bit about the history of lead and how we've used it is Chris Sellers. He's a professor of history at Stony Brook University. Thanks for joining us.
Why, sure.
So we've known that lead is a poison for centuries. So why in the world in the 19th and early 20th centuries would we use lead pipes to bring water into our homes?
Yeah, it's a really good question, particularly given what we know today. But part of the reason is that they didn't know nearly as much about the more subtle effects of lead as we do today. They were faced with problems in water supplies that were very much immediate and dramatic, such as typhoid and cholera. And they chose lead to build about half of the water pipes in cities that were being constructed around this time in the late 19th, early 20th century. Lead had a lot of properties that were really useful for what they wanted to do to run the pipes around corners. Lead really lasted a long time, and they did know it was poisonous, but the kinds of poisons they were looking for were very dramatic kinds of poisons.
Yeah, you mentioned in your article severe stomach aches, muscle weakness, kidney failure, seizures, or death. All a little extreme, and I guess they didn't know about the other effects at the time. So the risk of this lead poisoning was better than, as you mentioned, typhoid? That was the reasoning?
Yeah, and they were not really looking for the lead poisoning. I mean, it would show up every once in a while, and there were people who said, well, you know, our safety levels are not strict enough. But people in public health, public officials, were so worried about the infectious diseases that kind of overrode any worries about the poisonous materials they were building the water pipes out of. It's kind of extraordinary. What's also extraordinary is that it took such a long time for us to come to realize that. Part of the story is that that was kind of a minor use of this toxic metal in the early 20th century. It really took off. We used it for so many things.
Right. Just last year, I did an extensive report on lead poisoning because of older homes with lead paint. Some of the blood lead levels found in the children and living in those homes were even higher, some much higher than we've seen in Flint. So why have we struggled with eliminating the risk of exposure to lead when we know the cost is so high?
I think part of it is that there was a kind of a scientific understanding earlier in the 20th century that was built off studies done by people who were kind of in cahoots with the industry.
I mean,
they were even, yeah. There was not a CDC. There was not an EPA. There was not even a National Institutes of Health. And so funding for the science came largely from the industry and its allies. You had studies, for instance, the major lead investigator maintained that a certain amount of lead that now we consider to be very destructive was just normal part of modern urban life. That whole science took a while to challenge, and it took a lot of effort as scientists became more independent, as people got funding to do studies that could challenge that hypothesis. It took a while for us to understand how bad it was. I mean, it also took successful efforts, for instance, take lead out of the gasoline.
So we now know children who are exposed to lead face a whole host of long-term problems, lower IQ, behavioral problems later in life or throughout their life. It's been suggested that taking lead out of gasoline meant, for the first time in decades, a whole generation of kids were raised without that specific lead exposure, and that might have continued to the drop in the crime rate we've seen over the last couple of decades. Has that been verified?
Well, there have been some suggestive studies that a big chunk of that drop in crime rate is from lead exposure. I'm not sure that the evidence is that definitive. There are all sorts of other factors that are sometimes not figured into the studies that actually looking for the lead's effect. So that's a complex phenomenon that I think we're still trying to get our heads around. But certainly there is a lot of suggestive evidence that getting rid of the lead, at least to the extent that we did so in gasoline, that it really helped. that's one of the best outcomes of getting rid of lead in gasoline. But the problem, here's the problem, though, is when you get rid of lead in gasoline, that was an exposure that just all Americans faced. It was even found in the Greenland ice caps. It was the whole world that faced the consequences of that. When you're talking about the lead in paint in old houses, when you're talking about lead in water pipes, those are more confined to particular communities. And oftentimes, those communities are not so well off. And so what we've seen is a kind of a segregation of lead's poisonous effects. You know, the overall effects have been great from getting it out of lead in gasoline, but we still have a great deal of work to do in the homes and in our built-in infrastructure to get lead out of American life and to stop the harm that has been causing ever since our binge on lead in the middle of the 20th century.
The reason lead showed up in the Flint water supply is because a chemical agent which could have prevented the corrosion and lead leaching was not added to the water. Instead of replacing the lead pipes, the chemical additive has been the cheaper option. It doesn't seem so cheap right now. How often is this the approach in the nation's cities? Rather than replace lead pipes, just use the chemical additive.
This has often been the approach that we've taken. I mean, it's certainly much cheaper than replacing the pipes. And the thing is, it's vulnerable. It's vulnerable to so many things. You have to monitor constantly and well, which often doesn't happen. You have to make sure that your bureaucrats and politicians are not short-sighted enough to say, hey, we can do without it. I mean, what happened in the Washington crisis was that they didn't put the anti-leaching agents in to begin with, but then they added something else that they thought was going to take care of the bacteria in the water called chloramines. And that is actually what caused lead to leach out even further. And from what I understand, they hadn't really even asked that question about whether that would have that kind of effects on lead. So people were kind of surprised then. If we're going to do that, we certainly need to do better monitoring of the chemicals, the additives that we put in there, and as well as the additives or whatever it is in that Flint River water, the corrosive element that has been responsible for leaching the lead out of those water pipes. You know, ultimately, though, given all the uncertainties that we've seen, we're going to have crisis after crisis until we actually have a program nationwide that can get rid of lead in drinking water pipes. It seems to me that's pretty clear. The Flint controversy is the first time we've had real proof that the lead in the water is actually bringing up kids' lead levels in the middle of the crisis. The smoking gun is there with Flint, and I think we've reached a turning point with what we found out just through the suffering of those people that hopefully will give rise to a larger push to really look at our poisonous infrastructure that's bringing the water into our faucets.
Chris Sellers is professor of history at Stony Brook University. You can read his article, Piping as Poison, The Flint Water Crisis and America's Toxic Infrastructure, online at theconversation.com. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me.